Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 876. I am Brian Kilby. Radio Free Cybertron is the world's first and oldest action figure and toy podcast since 1999. Hey, guess what? Somebody who was here at the very beginning is back. Mr. John DeLuna.
Yay! Well,
hey, guys. This week.
Hello.
And
welcome back, John.
On the regular going forward.
Yep, that's right. So, can't guarantee 100%. Of Wednesdays, but as many as humanly possible.
We'll settle for 80%.
Yes, that was Chris. John, I don't know if you noticed this.
No, okay.
But I left you on the podcast.
Oh, I noticed. Oh, yeah.
I was getting to the point, like, should I take John off? I hate to, but maybe it's time. And then, like, literally, I got an email this weekend saying, I'm back, awesome. Baby.
That's right. Back in the saddle.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Let's do it.
Diecast and Matt.
We're all happy.
Rob.
Yes.
Hello.
And the Donald.
Hello.
Oh, don't call him that.
Oh, yeah. Donald. Don.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't curse Don with that name.
No.
No. Yeah. Hey. So, like, I'll be honest. I've had a crap week. So, I haven't looked at show notes or anything. So, I'm flying blind. I will say, I went to Toylanda this weekend and it was flipping awesome, except for, like, walking around with my bum knee. Got to hang out with, Joey, Sean, and Rob Springer, and it was great to meet Joey and Sean in person. I mean, I feel like I've known them for years now, you know, through the podcast, and, you know, they're patrons and on Hot Five and whatever, and I've done things with Sean, like on my last couple Christmas albums, Sean has shown up as Santa Claus, but like getting to meet him in person was great. Hanging out with Rob was so awesome. Rob told a joke really loudly at the restaurant and scared an older gentleman at the table beside of us. It was amazing. I missed. Was it Rob? No, that was probably Mad Max. I was going to say somebody pulled a gun on Gary Chalk. That was Max. That was Max. Yeah. Rob's done something crazy though.
Not like that.
Not like that.
I don't, to my knowledge, Rob Springer has never done anything that would like plausibly get him arrested.
Was that BotCon 01, 02? I forgot when Max. John, were you at that convention?
I was at...
yeah, I was at that one.
The only one I missed 2004 OTFCC because I was at BotCon, and I missed 2007 in Rochester because I was unemployed.
But were you there when that happened is the reason I asked.
I heard about it after the fact.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't know.
I will say, John is an OG member of the show. Chris is an OG member of the show. Mad Max was an OG member of the group as well. So he did mostly stuff like on the site back then. But yeah, I miss that guy.
When we did the 10th anniversary episode, we had a bunch of the old voices.
I don't think he was on it. I don't think he was.
No, he sent in a segment for some special that we did. I know because I edited it.
Okay. I'm certain. Well, and I was going to say Alex. That may have been a period when Alex was sort of invisible. We've had so many people on. Yeah. There's so many people that have been on the show over the years. This is the most consistent group of people that we've had. We've been going strong for like most of us for like over 10 years.
Well, Brian, you know what they say, consistency is victory.
And victory is life.
And victory is life, yeah. Cool, okay. So let's jump into the news. Enough talking about like the old days. Let's talk about the new days.
All we know is the old days. We're old.
Well, we're talking about a Target Legacy 4-pack, and that can't include anything old, can it? That has to be just new stuff.
Well, I mean, define what you mean by old in this context, because like it may not be like actually old toys, but...
So, oh gosh, yeah, like, did we just learn about this week?
We learned this about this an hour ago.
Okay, so I'm like I said, I've had a really bad week. I've not had a chance.
Thank you, JT.
Yeah, thank you, JT Prime. So, Cyberverse Tarn, which is a Legacy Tarn repaint.
Yeah.
Okay, is there such thing as a Cyberverse Tarn?
There is. Yeah. So, Tarn appeared in, I think, two stories in Cyberverse during the final season.
Wow.
And basically, well, so I always thought that the Legacy Tarn toy more favored Cyberverse than the comics in terms of like the body shape. Because the toy is, you know, kind of on the slimmer side, and Tarn in the comics was large, hulking, and monstrous. But otherwise, the only real difference between the Tarns is just that the Cyberverse one had more, like, you know, light-up features, I guess, spread over the body, so they're trying to reflect that in the deco. And, like, the Tarn's an okay toy. It's not one of my favorites. We talked about this to some extent last year. Boy, time, just that sure is the fire in which we burn. But no, like, I'm kind of into this in concept, and, like, in the final episode of Cyberverse, Tarns were basically generic troopers. So between this and the reissue of Tarn that's going to come out next year, I think, if somebody wanted to make a small group of Ultimate Decepticon Tarns, like, this would actually be a good, like, command unit for them if you want to kind of go in that direction. I'm kind of into it.
Yeah.
I will tell you, too, I hate spiders, but I love this orange tarantulas. Because, like, that's a great toy just to start with. And now it's orange.
Yeah,
my mom never had one of those.
So, tarantulas. That's another toy.
Yeah. So, this is based on the cross cells from the original Beast Wars Deluxe Wave, where Tarantulas, an early version of Tarantulas, was pictured, and it was clear orange instead of being a purple toy like it ended up.
Yeah. Prime Cliff Jumper.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming.
I kind of did because of the exhaust pipes all over Chase. It like kind of narrowed down your options.
I don't have Chase, so like I was blindsided by this.
Oh, okay.
So that's interesting to me. But G1 Squeeze Play from Mind Wipe. And
I like that. That's the one. That's the winner of the set to me.
Yeah. Does anybody need literally everything except for Squeeze Play out of one of these sets? Because
so I don't much care for it.
Oh no,
I'm glad they did it.
It's terrible.
I like
we're
that
still
they did
all
it.
Gonna buy the set for Squeeze Play.
Yes, I love that they
it's
did
awful,
it.
Awful, but we're gonna buy it.
Yes. Yes.
T-shirt
we
slogan.
Don't hate it. It's
just
no, awful.
It's just awful.
But we're still going to buy it. So,
I love
your new shirt.
I love the tech spec deco detail on the chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, okay, so like we're dragging this thing already from the rip, but like for what they had to work with making this, like there's some care and some love for what they're trying to do, even if they were a little bit hamstrung by reality.
Yeah. This is what read that.
Yeah. Like, they had to turn a bat into like a cobra lobster thing. And
which is amazing that they got anywhere close to it.
Like Hasbro used to do stuff like this without retooling.
Yes.
So the fact that there's any of that is impressive.
And remember, like 3 years ago, we got Weird Wolf off of the double dealer mold or not double dealer double cross mold family which was equally unsuited to its task and also kind of not good. So at the rate we're going, by 2028 we should finally also have a horrible probably made from like animated Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Well, you know, other than Tarn, I can't tell if he has the same Decepticon face or if there's a different face. I can't tell from the image. But I want all of them except for Tarn. But the cool thing is, this is scheduled to release on my birthday, 6/21. So
So,
that's interesting.
yeah,
oh, nice.
I love it. I think I love
Yeah.
this. Okay, so I'm trying to look and see.
The Tarn, honestly, Don's right. The Tarn is the one I'm least excited about in this set. Like, I could do without the Tarn. I don't need a Cyberverse Tarn. But yeah, this is pretty awesome. This is a pretty awesome set.
Yeah, he's going up for sale as soon as I get the set.
I think Tarn is just a straight redeco. I'm looking at the Tarn I have, and like all the shapes in the face look the same. And like, obviously, if you enlarge these pictures, you can see that they were taken. They're photos taken off of a screen. So like, when this goes up properly for pre-order, apparently tomorrow morning, we'll be able to see in much better detail. But from what I can see on here, it doesn't look like this is a remolded toy.
And people were having a hard time getting Tarns, so
Yeah, Tarn
I
was born to
mean,
a case and it only shipped once.
this could really be their Tarn. I mean, it's, you know,
You're darn right.
Until next year, whenever the package refresh of Tarn is due to come out, with the other toys in this, especially if you miss Tarn and you also want to add Squeeze Play or Cancer, depending to your collection, like it's a good 2-in-1 shot.
And I just like that Tarantulas,
Yeah,
so
no,
it looks great.
that orange Tarantulas is something I've wanted them to do since the box art Black Arachnia was made, and like my consciousness expanded to consider things like this. Also, Tarantulas has the toy accurate head now instead of the animation model head.
Oh, nice.
So it is like firmly a toy inspired thing. This is something that would pair really well with that box art Black Arachnia. I love that those two things, catalog Tarantulas and box art Black Arachnia, are distinct things that exist in the toy line.
Yeah, it honestly, looking at it with this sort of grainy photo, it makes me want a legacy Armadillo.
Okay, yeah, I know, I see where you're coming from there. And like the really unsettling thing is they could really just retool Tarantulas to make a legacy Armadillo.
Maybe.
Like they're not that far off.
New episode title, Legacy Armadillo. Not doing that. Okay, so Mark Mayer posts new photos of Ferric and Cannonball, reinforcing my prior thoughts pretty much. Ferric, yes. Cannonball's okay.
Cannonball eventually.
It's weird. Ferric is in some very kind of muted colors, but with that orange, everything just seems to get pulled together.
Red That's the power of
of
orange,
orange.
Don.
Yes, yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, it just, if you look at his body colors, it's all this light cream and gray.
Yeah, it's almost like these professional deco artists understand color theory.
Yeah. But when you add the orange face and the highlights, the whole thing just pops.
Absolutely. Also, it's more of a red than an orange, but like still, I'm going to attribute it to the power of orange.
Yeah. I
The
like
other interesting thing is, if you go toward the end of this post, there is actually a batch of like concept art for the retooled face, and it looks like in one stage of this, they were actually considering basing the new Cyclonus head on the Transformers the Movie DS game, the Cyclonus that appeared in that. So like, it isn't just the Florodairy concept art that they were considering for doing this. They were looking at like other iterations of G1 style Cyclonus to make something that is true to the original Ferric convention exclusive, which was just a straight Cyclonus redeco, but still making it have its own identity. Just different expressions of that.
The screenshot of that character on the wiki is tiny, so I didn't remember the difference in with that. It doesn't look bad, but like I'm glad they did what they did, I think.
But I'll be honest, with them getting the new weapons that become either the wing mounted or the handheld, I don't mind there not being a Target Master. I think he looks better with those smaller like wing blasters and stuff, even though he does have the regular, I guess, the Cyclonus gun. And it just gives him a whole different identity. So I don't mind not having the Target Master.
I don't think of like Cup or even Hot Rod. I don't think of Cyclonus as Target Master first.
Well, Ferrick only had the Target Master because of the mold they were using. They couldn't separate the nightstick off of it.
Yeah.
Rob?
I was just going to say, I feel like Cyclonus is a little bit more cemented as a Target Master because of the subsequent versions that have, you know, shipped with Target Masters, right. Whereas, you know,
because the Rebirth is awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, Rebirth Universe is awesome. 2008 really did kind of like bake the idea of Target Master Cyclonus more into the consciousness of the fandom at that time.
Mm-hmm.
To the extent that when they were doing the select, they were playing the select version for Kingdom Cyclonus, like one of the things they wanted to bake into that was including a Target Master. They wanted to make that reference to the Target Master toy to still kind of carry that forward. So back to Ferrick and Cannonball, another interesting thing in this post is at one point they were considering using the Reactivate Soundwave mold for Cannonball instead of the Skids mold family.
Then they realized it would be more expensive to use that mold.
So, I mean, I suspect there may be something of that to it. What is cited in the Instagram post is that the production timelines for the two toys would have overlapped, and it just was not actually possible to make that and still meet their deadlines, which I think is, you know, probably accurate, because I would suspect in that case what they're talking about with this is not the run of the Reactivate toys that we have now, but the what Ben McRae was saying on a stream where there would be more of those coming along later on. What came out at the end of last year was basically a preview quantity of them to get the toys into initial circulation. So that could point to more Reactivate 2 packs of the same ones we got, but more of them coming out sometime around the summer for the production timeline to fall where it is.
Ooh, that's just what we need.
Well, I mean, that will probably drive the price down as the retailers get too many of them and need to clearance them.
They were already starting to drop on price in on Amazon.
Yeah, they've been fluctuating a little bit, but not too much. I suspect if another batch of them drops over the summer, we'll probably see these two pack go down to about $40.
Yeah, the two pack with Optimus Prime, I think, was about $10 off, which was about 53. Does that sound right?
Yeah, probably something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that, you know, it would have been interesting if that Soundwave mold had been put into use as Cannonball. I assume it would make some people happy who are tired of seeing the Skids and Crankcase, etc. mold family. It's recycled again and again and again.
No, I probably still wouldn't have cared.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, fair enough.
Yeah. Let's see. Mark shows off more photos, including the Deluxe Insecticons, Breakdown, and Windsweeper.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Deluxe Insecticons.
They look really good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hate that they look really good, but they look really good.
Me too. Well, I think now we've got better photos. I think Barrage doesn't look quite as kind of wonky as some of those initial photos made him look. But the Windsweeper, seeing the silver Target Masters as they're posed in the picture, I get what they were trying to do to recreate his flip out
right
arm cannons. I'm still going to buy the Non-F has already said they've got the correct cannons in the
yeah
works.
Yeah, they're doing an add-on kit.
Yeah, but seeing them like that, I get more of what they were trying to do since it was all gang molded together. So right. I appreciate them trying to make it with what they had to work with.
Yeah, I mean, especially since they could have just as easily like said, okay, we're just going to equate Trigger Cons with Target Masters now, and like we're just going to paint these up as, you know, fully realized characters. I mean, some people probably would prefer that way, just to have more characters in, but like for people who don't go in for the add-on kits, at least there's something to kind of get that visual quality in there.
Yeah.
Looks nice anyway. Yeah. Hopefully that set will drop in price a fair bit too, and then I'll actually buy it because I have no need for that Breakdown.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care about Breakdown.
Yeah.
No.
I'll be honest. I clicked on this news item and I thought, don't I already have this in hand? MP56 plus rigorous.
Yep, yeah, that's definitely a yellow Trailbreaker.
Kind of a mishmash of yellow Trailbreaker and yellow Hoist. There's a lot of Hoist in there with Trailbreaker's alt mode.
Yeah,
I have so many unboxed, and that may not be true. I may have opened them and looked at them and just went and threw it back in the box. But I feel like I have so many unopened masterpieces, like even ones that have like the outer sleeve that I don't know what's in them. Like I'm just like so over Masterpiece,
right?
And I'm not pre-ordering.
I'll probably go in for this at some point, like if the price comes down.
Because you get the Diaclone colored.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I've got the Mastermind Creations yellow, their yellow version from a couple years ago at TFCon, but I'm hoping they'll do a Hoist in Diaclone color, because I've heard good things about the Hoist mold, but I've got Hoist through X-Transbots, but this is just...
Yeah, so that's kind of a question. Like, Hoist theoretically was better than Trailbreaker for the mold changes, but is there enough of that in Rigorous to actually overcome the Trailbreaker that's still there?
Yeah, he's like a turducken.
We're kind of verging on the masterpiece of Theseus here.
Yeah, I know what you did there.
Yeah, yeah, I tried to get a show title going.
I mean,
yep.
It just it does. I can't tell you why, other than it just doesn't look right.
No, I mean like. I don't think the cartoony Hoist legs really go with the Diaclone thing. Are you putting cartoony Hoist legs as the episode title? You sure are.
I like it.
See, like, all of you listening to this in the podcast form and not getting the full experience of the video live on Wednesday nights, like, you miss seeing Brian's face light up when I say some, like, odd offhand collection of words. And we just know, oh, that's going up as an episode title.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with the cartoony Hoist legs, because they were based off the original Diaclone toy. You know, Trailbreaker was the one that was heavily modified for cartoons, so I'm perfectly fine with the... I think it fits in fine with the Diaclone aesthetic.
Yeah, it does. It does. I'm just not buying
it.
To me, it just
looks kind of weird the way these come together in combination. I don't know.
So, speaking of things that I didn't order, which is not technically true, I did order it, but I canceled it. We have photos of the Nemesis Bridge set in hand. It actually looks really nice, but I don't need it.
It does.
Don't need it.
That Megatron looks fully painted.
I mean, it probably does have a lot of paint on it. It is very silvery. Which I think it's going to chip and scrape all over the damn place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know this is a bridge set, but like, God, I wish that Megatron had the Abraham Lincoln chair instead.
Yeah,
I'm not even joking. I'm like 100% serious.
Well, Brian, I would bet want to bet cash money that someone in the third party has done that chair.
Yeah, but
I remember seeing it.
That's nice.
You like, would probably be more likely to go on, one of those 3D print websites where someone has designed that and is offering it up for people to make themselves.
But it would be preposterous for Target, Takara Tomy to do it.
Well, Target also.
Yeah, Target. But that would make me buy it. It looks nice. It really does.
I mean, if they wanted to, like, do, you know, specific scene sets, like, I could totally see them designing a cardboard inner tray, like a 3D version of the Studio Series backdrops, where, you know, it's the Lincoln Memorial and the Megatron is just sat in the middle of it.
Like the
Throne of Primal.
Yeah.
So the thing that I'm reassured by looking at these pictures is that while Shockwave is a brighter, more saturated purple than the Siege one, it is not still the shade of purple that I want, which is the purple that looks like it comes from the cartoon, which is like it's more to the red side of purple than blue, like this still is. So,
I noticed something.
Yes.
If you take Shockwave, his spaceship mode, and turn it upside down.
Yeah, it looks like a submarine, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like. Yeah. Interesting.
You're not allowed to turn him upside down.
No.
They would prefer that you don't.
How different is Soundwave from the Netflix version?
There's well, no, the thighs have not discolored with age, so that's one difference.
I'm going to say the Netflix version didn't have the missiles in the shoulder cannon painted.
You might be right about that. That's a very little detail and something that would easily be dropped first.
They did not.
It looks nice.
It does.
I'm maybe regretting my choice of canceling this.
It also looks like the Soundwave has the forearms painted silver.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, there's Shockwave actually looks like the least painted thing in this set, and I mean honestly it doesn't need it really.
Yeah. It's all right, Brian. I'm sure you had two or three other pre-orders that you forgot about and haven't canceled yet. So.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. God, if I move too, I'm gonna have to update addresses like on anything that I have pre-ordered.
Oh man.
Yeah.
My credit card expired.
Good.
And
that's what his wife said too.
I kept updating it on Hasbro Pulse, and they kept sending me emails saying I didn't update my credit card. So it turns out that you actually have to go the spot they have to update for all orders doesn't work. So you actually have to go into one of the orders that the old credit card would work, and then it actually affected everything. So I got about a month and a half worth of products the other day, because all of a sudden, like, I kept updating my credit card, but it wouldn't take it. And then all of a sudden, you know, I realized that it wasn't updating, and I called them and they said, oh, you got to go into one of the orders. So I went into one of the orders and then it updated for everything. And then I got like six packages at my house.
So I got an update on my HasLab Mega Prime. I said last week that it ordered, but like I didn't have money on the card to cover it on my prepaid card. PayPal let it go through. And then I got like a notification, hey, your bank didn't have funds to cover this. And like that's never happened before. So my PayPal account went into the negative, which what that tells me is I can't use that card anymore for this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because right. What'll happen is instead of saying no, the
court. Yeah, no, there's no safety net on.
There's
anymore.
No safety net
overdraft,
on anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but like, I didn't know a PayPal account could go into the negative. So I just paid it.
So
for my other bank account. And
yeah. So more commonly, PayPal accounts go into the negative when you sell things either on eBay or otherwise, and somebody comes after you through one of the seller protection programs. And they just compulsorily refund that buyer. If your account doesn't have enough in it to cover it, they just put you in the negative, and then they start sending collections after you to get that money back from you.
Yeah. So Omega Prime went through, so I'll get it now.
Also,
like, yeah. And immediately have buyer's remorse and sell it.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I think I won't. I don't think I will.
Well, I mean, we'll find out in about a year and a half.
Yep.
So in our Discord, tfradio.net/discord, Anani TF says, Diecast, your credit card has earned its retirement.
That is true.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so
Gaming Fix, our friend Frank says, learning how to get Transformers on credit is scary.
Yeah.
Diecast can teach master classes on that.
Oh, yeah.
If I want to spend more than just a couple $100, what I'll do is the PayPal paying for. That's like my trick. That way I can not, I don't want to say a couple $100 is not exceeding my toy budget because Kim would kill me. But like if I wanted to get something, say like, I don't know, a Mitten Box Fort Max,
mm-hmm.
I could pay a couple $100, $200 or $300 every 2 weeks instead of paying $1,000 up front.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I sort of justify that sort of thing.
So Don looked at me very disgusted when I cited Diecast with the buying on credit thing. The thing is, Don, what Diecast is doing is just racking up consumer debt. What you do is you try to make toys pay for themselves as much as possible. You do a completely different field than what Diecast does.
Yeah, I feel like we've got like the light side and the dark side of Transformers financing here.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. There is no light side to Transformers financing.
Well, beware the Diecast side.
Well, there's the more and less self-destructive sides, let's say.
I did have a Don purchase the other day. When Target put up the Target Optimus Prime, there was a coupon. If you spent $80, you got $20 off or $10 off, something like that. So I picked up the Stranger Things Transformers van, which was sale for $26.
Yeah.
So it ended only up, it ended up being like $11 or $12 for that.
Oh, okay.
So I was proud of myself. I was like, that was a total Don move. And I didn't mean to. It just worked out.
So John said in our Discord, Donomics is carbon neutral.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's definitely true. Hey, on that note, I saw Origins Wheeljack and Studio Blaster. Series Blaster at Target today. Nice. And I was excited that, hey, I could use this the discount they have this week on it, having no idea that they're street dated.
Dated for the 31st.
Yep. Oh, for the, yeah, the day that coupon and expires.
When they went up of for course. Pre-order, that sale was not going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And pre-orders are sold out on the Target site. So.
Yep. Yeah, the Hasbro Pulse pre-order I placed, like immediately as soon as it went up, is not fulfilled. It's fulfilling April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Okay. Let's see here. Yellow Park, this is for Diecast, the AMK Pro Optimus Prime in hand photos. Are these your photos?
They're not. But man, you can't tell me that that figure doesn't look good.
It does.
Yeah, it generally does.
I mean, I still will tell you that it doesn't just to spite you, but I would be lying.
Yeah.
But I will lie to you to spite you. It's worth it to me.
Also, 10 years ago, if you told me I'd be excited about a non-transforming figure, I would have told you you're wrong.
I make fools of us all.
Yeah. Yes, it does. And it's really nice. It's even got lights in the eyes, and the gun has a magnet in it. So you just hold the back of his gun to his head. And
you put a gun
actually
to his head and his eyes light up. That's an interesting action feature.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. And I think he even has the flip-up communicator on his arm. I'm not 100% sure it looks like it's there. But yeah, they're and then they got the stand and they got him in the pose, which is so awesome. This, I just can't wait to get this figure.
It looks good. I got one of the mini kits I think last week when you weren't here, and that is a particularly nice figure. I'm probably going to get more of those.
Where did you get it from?
Amazon has them, but for about $13 each, or all six for $50. TFRadio.net/Amazon.
I might have to go buy that right now.
Yeah. But the listings for those are weird because I kind of had to dig for it. Like I had to go to one of the multi packs, and then I was able to find the singles. If anybody anybody wants individual kits, the individuals are like 13 a piece, and there's also an Optimus Prime and Megatron 2-pack for 20 in that scale.
Oh, by the way, Paladin brought up a very good point as far as the Target pre-orders. 31st is Sunday. In the U.S., Sunday is Easter, so they're not going to be open on Sundays.
Are going to be open on Sunday?
Mm-mm, they're not open on Easter.
The heck?
Yeah. I have.
Walmart at least has the good sense to be open on Easter.
I have forgotten about that. I went to Target on a Sunday, and they were closed.
What are they, Hobby Lobby?
I mean, they're never open on Sunday.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good on them, I guess.
Blade Raider wants to know if we take a drink when Diecast adds debt to himself. We would die of alcohol poisoning, sir.
I mean,
I do want to clarify, I put everything on credit card. Everything. I don't
really
use
money. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, no, let me finish. I pay the credit card off before any interest accrues. So I don't use my bank account to buy stuff because I just feel like it's safer for I've had my accounts hacked so many times. My bank account's never been hacked because when you're doing all that Taobao stuff,
there's certainly probably some security concerns with that.
Yeah. So I don't let interest accrue on my credit cards. I pay it off
Otherwise, though, as long as you have even a half decent bank and you keep an eye on your statements or your online banking, if you can, like, generally, if something happens, your bank will have your back if you report it within their time frame.
It's a pain in the butt.
It is. No, I know. I've had debit card fraud myself in small quantities over the years, and like, yeah, it sucked. It's really inconvenient. But like, I've also never been in a position where like I didn't get my money given back to me almost immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's to be honest, Diecast, just with all the stuff you get, it's more impressive that it sounds like you are genuinely not spending beyond your means. Like,
oh, no. I do not. The only thing I do that with is cars and houses.
Oh, I mean, that's
fair.
With what Blade Raider said, it's like, if you want to get drunk like that, just do the G.I. Joe drinking game and watch the movie. One drink for Yojo, two drinks for Cobra, three drinks for every parachute. I mean, at least you have more fun killing yourself that way.
Okay. Let's see here. God. Hot Wheels Skate Transformers Bumblebee version. Yay.
Yeah. It's exactly the same thing we were talking about last week.
But Bumblebee.
Bumblebee. Yeah. And yellow. It's yellow.
I'm certain somebody, this is somebody's jam.
Yeah, I've never heard of this product before, but I don't care about skateboarding. Like, there's probably dedicated collectors of this line, whatever the hell it is, in whatever, branding affiliations they've had up to this point. This is probably really cool to somebody out there who is outside of our conscious spaces.
I mean, you could use these with the skate park Optimus Prime you guys got a couple years ago.
I forgot all about that thing.
That was like 10 years ago.
That was seven years ago.
Great toy, though.
Oh, God, that was 9 years ago.
That was a Titans Return toy, so like...
That was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was HasCon, and HasCon was... Is it 2015 or 2017?
I thought the skate park was an SDCC toy.
HasCon was like 2017.
Now, what was it? What did they have at HasCon besides RC?
Headmaster RC.
Headmaster RC.
So, okay, they had that Prime at the store, because that's where I bought it.
Okay, so it's, 7 years old.
Okay. It's so many conventions.
It's a Titans Return toy, which narrows down when it can be from. Combiner Wars went a year and a half. Titans Return picked up halfway through 2016. That Optimus that they redecorated was a first wave leader toy. So they wouldn't be able to use that for SDCC purposes until the following summer. So that had to be a 2017 exclusive.
Yeah. Yeah. I just Googled primitive skateboarding Optimus Prime, and the first thing is an Amazon listing that says SDCC 2017.
Yeah. And that was before HasCon, which was what, September, I think, or October?
Sounds right.
Yeah. So, but what was happening, I was confusing 2015, which was, anybody know what that is? The Shardicon that didn't happen.
Yeah. I backed their Kickstarter analog for that, and then of course got refunded when they decided that it wasn't going to work out.
Tragic.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, Chris. I'll read it as you wrote it. Oh, New Zealand Mint, never change. So it is this is silver, right? So
yeah,
it's a 5 ounce silver poster coin. For $500, limited to 200 units. Then there's a 1 ounce silver poster coin for $150. I don't know what silver spot price is right now. Not that this is necessarily tied to the spot price, but
this is above the silver rate.
I mean, spot price is like $25. Last I checked, it is $24.64 right now.
Yeah, and this pricing is consistent with the coins we've made fun of in the past, where they're about $100 per ounce of silver in the form that they sell it.
Yeah, and I buy silver with the spot price. So I buy like generic silver or like things like that, and I love it.
Great value silver.
RyanKilby.com/silver.
I hope Bill Sienkiewicz gets a cut of this.
I don't get that joke.
That being his cover for Transformers number 1.
Oh, that's not a joke. Cover. So what's no. What is on it? I didn't even look at the picture.
The cover to Transformers number one, as painted by Bill Sienkiewicz.
Oh, I was looking at the one that was the box art. I didn't even see that one. So
the box is the box art, I believe, and and the actual silver is the cover.
Is that how you say his name?
Yes.
I've always said Sienkiewicz. I've been saying it wrong.
Nope. Yeah, he actually made his Twitter handle at one point the proper pronunciation so people would have it.
Oh, nice.
I've been saying it wrong for 40 years.
I was saying it wrong until I saw him on Twitter.
Sorry, Bill.
Yeah.
Although, to my knowledge, I've never tried to say his name out loud.
I love his art. So yeah. I'm a fan. So like my friends and I, like the Meat Space friends, will talk about like his art. And yeah. So when we say coin, it's a rectangular thing.
A slug. It's a rectangular slug of silver.
Yeah.
That has been painted on, I guess? Printed on?
There's some technology they do. Wow, actually, that looks pretty slick.
It looks like a baseball card.
Yeah, roughly. Honestly, that's nice looking.
Well, oh, for $500, you can have one.
And this is legal tender. Crap.
It is legal tender?
Yeah, it's... So I guess... Where NIU? That is... Weird. So that is an island country. And it looks like the New Zealand Mint, based on what I'm seeing, is New Zealand Mint is minting coins for that country. So
like,
it is
like how some of the ones you would see on TV in the 90s were making coins for like Liberia or something.
Exactly. So it's legal tender there. So dang it, that means do I need it? God.
I think you do.
You need it. Yeah, you need it.
So, like, when it's just a silver medallion or something, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Uh-huh. Like this island country, like, there's a Coke bottle. There's, like, a Coke bottle cap coin that is out there for them. I guess New Zealand minted all that stuff. That's interesting.
I mean, not necessarily. They might be in agreement with them for this specific purpose.
Well, I mean... Certain like it takes some infrastructure to do.
I know
to do this stuff.
They're probably working with someone to mint their currency. It's not necessarily New Zealand for all of their stuff. It could
maybe not. Yeah, don't know. Man, that's pretty nice looking. I'm not gonna lie, that is pretty nice looking. Not $500 nice looking, but
well, they have a 1 ounce silver poster coin for $115.
So,
oh, it's temporarily out of stock. Never mind.
I'm sure there's a cheaper reproduction of that cover if you really wanted one.
Well, yeah.
So the cover one is the one that's $100, unless you get it from Canadian Coin and Currency, and it's $190 in American dollars. I don't know. Okay, well, let's just move on. It's not important. Okay, I'm just saying. Do I need this? Oh gosh, It's the 27th. My investor create bills on the 1st. No, I better not. But if anybody wants to buy silver, BrianKilby.com/silver. Imbibe on IP infringement. What is this?
So some brewery is making a fruity beer with really closely similar Transformers character designs and even a faction symbol printed on there somewhere that I think is probably close enough to get someone to look at them funny.
Yeah, they're probably going to get a cease and desist if nothing else.
He's got a lime on his head. That's you know.
Oh, I thought that was a hat.
It is. Mm. It's a lime hat.
As you do.
Yeah.
Yes.
As was the style of the time.
Yes.
If anyone's in Arizona and wants to send me a beer, I will definitely drink it on the show for you.
No, but I mean, if you look at the back of the can that's in the right side of the frame, like they literally just took the Autobot symbol and cut the top off of it and put a lime on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. I think the drawing, they could get away with the drawing.
So I'm not even so sure about that, because that's very distinctly Optimus Prime, and they are using that to sell a product and make money unlicensed, as far as we know.
Optimus Lime. That's not Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime is red.
Okay, so when I guess Arizona Craft Brewers or whoever makes this gets sued over this, you can volunteer to be their legal representation and make that argument in front of the judge.
I could do that.
Like, seriously, I do not represent myself as an expert or anything approaching that on IP law, but like everything that I'm seeing here about this and everything that I have learned over the years is like, these people are just asking for lawyers to come to their houses and not to drink beer.
You know, a lot of these local breweries that do this stuff, I've seen Voltron ones, I've seen Star Wars ones. I don't know that it's a big enough fish to fry that Hasbro would even look at the. It's not being widely distributed. It's very, very local.
Don, you're not holding your Switch.
Oh, sorry. Actually, I forgot to change the button over. They sent Pinkertons to somebody's house for magic cards that he paid for and was sent the wrong thing.
Yeah, send them like 2 weeks early.
Yeah. And do you think if they did that, they would not hesitate to go after someone infringing on a character like Optimus Prime?
I know somebody that Hasbro sued once, and they are very, very determined to do whatever they
especially need to do. Especially if you're putting their IP on alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
He wasn't doing that.
No, like, that's exactly the problem here. This is very much like the problem with Masterpiece Exhaust, which was an international incident, basically. But, like, you know, that was cigarette branding on a toy. Putting toy iconography on alcohol is, like, a special kind of trouble to get in with various authorities. Yes. And Hasbro, should they become aware of this, and they probably have since it's on TFW now, and we know that they read the message boards and everything, like, when this gets to the right departments in Hasbro and somebody hears about what's going on, like, they're going to be legally obligated to take action against this for their own protection. Not even to protect their IP necessarily, but just like for their legal protection against like laws of marketing to minors.
Yeah, and beyond that, the other legal issue is that with this is close enough that someone could reasonably mistake it for being a Hasbro approved product.
Absolutely. And that's the problem with with the appearance of marketing to kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Let's jump to what we got this week. John, since you're new to the show, this is a segment where we talk about the things that we got in the prior week. Transformers related. And for patrons at patreon.com/TFradio. There's a segment that we call Ham Sandwiches, where if there's something non-Transformers that you got that you want to talk about, we do that after.
All right. So then good news. I'll focus on my on-topic acquisition. So apparently this has been going on for a year. This is the completion of a year-long project.
Oh,
and it's Masterpiece Raiden. Is it Raiden or Raiden?
Raiden.
Okay. See, I've been infected by Mortal Kombat.
You bought six masterpieces. You bought six masterpieces. You hate Masterpiece. You're the like
fair
the,
enough. You're fair not, enough.
I'll bet he hates that even more now.
Possibly. I might have confirmed like why I had my original position in the first place. But so it's been about right at a year since the first Trainbot came out, and now I've received the final Trainbot. And so here's the deal. I actually like them as individual Transformers relative to like on the Masterpiece scale, which is really important because Masterpiece Transformers, they forgo any kind of attempt at being a toy. And they're just brittle pieces of engineering experimentation. I don't know. So the good ones are mostly toy-ish. So I would say like, you know, good old trusty Sideswipe, Masterpiece Sideswipe, it still feels like a toy, but basically every Masterpiece Beast Wars toy feels like peanut butter brittle. in your hands, mm-hmm. and they're terrifying to like hold. Train bots are somewhere in the middle of that, and yet I really like the train mode. It's great, perfect model trains. I dig it. Like effectively no robot kibble on any of them. Great, fine. The robot modes are pretty good. Could be a lot worse. They have great head sculpts. They're not too panel heavy. They're okay. They're fine. But the combiner robot is a disaster. I cannot. He's in the Unicron scale of just brutal 90 plus minutes of transforming. And the result is just unpleasant. The experience is unpleasant. And particularly, so I would describe it as this. I described it as this earlier. He's basically exactly what you would think a masterpiece combiner Beast Wars toy would be, which is just tiny panels, tabs, and slots everywhere with like no regard for how much weight the tabs and slots are expected to support. His shoulder assembly is just baffling. Like I'm not, because effectively his arms are Voyagers. So, you know, your shoulder assembly has to support the weight of a Voyager on each side of his torso. It's just a collection of like very small, like tabs and slots and panels that all just kind of fold in on themselves and attempt to support like this, like entire arm. And guess what? They don't, it doesn't really, his shoulder articulation doesn't really exist. There's, you know, there's not too much there. He's just not good. He's not good. Everything about the Trainbot set is good, except the payoff, like the year-long payoff of
it's been more this than
combiner
year.
Robot. As it's disappointing. I think I'm gonna disassemble him and put him back into like individual Trainbots, because that's definitely like the most satisfying thing for me, at least.
Well, if you buy a seventh one, you get a waist extender, John.
Yeah, lucky for us, they're releasing two more. That's awesome. the doctors can't wait. So anyway, yeah, no, I don't know. He's kind of like Unicron, in that like Unicron was an interesting experiment, and then you see why Transformers are never supposed to be that big, and Raiden is an interesting experiment. And he's like a lesson in like, no, this is a bad idea. Like we should not, like the way they design Masterpiece Toys and the materials they select for Masterpiece Toys is not like suited for like combiners. And like just the weight and the just the complications of combiners, and like having like effectively like a triple changer for every Masterpiece Toy in this line. It's not great. So, I mean, he's disappointing. I would say, like, if you want, like, six really kind of interesting and good train bots, that's great. If you're expecting something from Raiden, like, this is not it. And it's a bummer, because it took, like, a year to, like, get here. But I don't know, guys. He's just not great. So,
hey, John.
Boo. Yes.
Did you look at the Moon Studios version? And if you did, why did you choose Raiden over the Moon Studios?
So I'm not really a third party guy anymore, but I've been very heavily exposed to that version through like YouTube videos and comparison videos, because I do not transform a Masterpiece anymore without looking at least like three bare minimum YouTube videos, because I do not want to break something. And they're not super intuitive. Some of the train bots are intuitive, but there's some like nuances in there where you're just not going to get it without some help. So I do think Moon Studio ultimately looks better, I would say, as especially for the combiner robot, but they're also just trying to do something different, right? So at the end of the day, it's very clear like this set is really successful at being an official scaled set of trains. Set of cars, and everything after that is kind of secondary, but it is impressive what they did with that like that mission, like starting with that mission of like, okay, we have to have like an official scale. The train modes have to be perfect. And that's all true. And, but from there, every step, it gets a little bit worse. So transformers are okay. The combiner mode is bad, but like the trains are great. And Moon Studios is not trying to do that, obviously. So it's just trying to do something different. I think if you want like a gigantic, good looking Raiden, that's probably the better choice. If you want some weird like footnote in Transformers history that's super expensive and just kind of weird and not good, this is fine. This is what that is. This is like Unicron. It's like this weird milestone in Transformers history. And that's the value in it. It's not necessarily like a good toy, but it's interesting from a historical standpoint.
What I appreciate is the fact that you make me feel much better about canceling the last one.
Yes. I got too far into it to bail out. And like I said, I like the individual robots.
I don't.
But, well, then like, there's nothing here for you, Brian.
My Yukikaze fell apart taking it out of the packaging.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I spent between two and 3 hours like transforming these six robots into Raiden, coming back to it like over the course of the weekend, which is insane.
That's more than I spent transforming Unicron.
I for sure probably spent more time in segments of my free time transforming this guy and than Unicron, which is crazy for sure.
Yeah, I misspoke. It was Getsaway that fell apart when I took him out of the packaging. The wheels fell off the front. You know, the one that forms the heel spur of the combined form. Yeah, that was when I knew I was done.
I wish I had like a moment like that, but like it was always like, okay, like here comes another one. Like every month and a half or 2 months, and it was just enough to keep me on the worst train.
Subscription plan.
Yeah.
It is a terrible subscription.
So, so I want to know. So the other day when I saw John making vague comments about his dissatisfaction with Raiden in our Discord, I immediately went to him and said, please come on RFC this week. I want you to talk about this on the show. So, John, at that point when I approached you for that, had you already decided to try to come back to the show on an ongoing basis?
I did. Yeah, I had already sent Brian that note. So,
yep. And damn, I kept my secret. I did not share it. I want it to be a surprise.
Yes. Final note on Raiden. It's what is he like? Six times $120, $130 on average. I do not want to do that math. So say he's many hundreds of dollars.
He's $750, $800. Yeah,
he's a statue. Like you really need to put him on his stand and walk away. And you know, is that worth many hundreds of dollars to just have like a statue? I don't know.
That's why I didn't back Unicron.
Yeah, and size wise, he's about as big. He's definitely like thicker, right? Because he's just panels on panels. So he's definitely like thicker and has like weight to him that a Combiner Wars combiner doesn't have, but he's about that big. He's about as big as Computron or your average Combiner Wars super robot, combiner robot. So that gives you like a sense of just size. So, you know, he's not even like especially big. He's just really dense. I hate to say it, but I think I'm a thumbs down on Raiden.
What doesn't have all those problems and costs about the same is a loose vintage Raiden.
Isn't that crazy? That's true. Yeah.
I mean, I paid less than that for mine. I got a really good deal on mine. I much prefer it to this one.
You know, as a fan of Headmasters, the series, when we first started hearing rumblings about a Masterpiece Raiden, and we were all like on the speculation train that, like, yeah, maybe they will make that like Combiner Wars Devastator, where the Takara Tomy engineer on that called that his Masterpiece Devastator. And like, still to this day, it's as fresh as when, you know, it first happened that we learned that it isn't true. Like, I am just heartbroken and devastated that we don't have that toy and probably never will have that toy, which would give me the Trainbot experience that I want.
Hmm.
I'm wondering if the 86 Devastator is going to be more masterpiece than the Combiner Wars that we got.
In one sense, probably, in that I assume
toy designs moved along by about a decade since then.
All six of them will be individually fully functional robots rather than any of them being mostly sacrificed to the purpose of making the Combiner. But I mean, other than that, I don't think they're going to be any more masterpiece than any average generation style toy, especially like Bone Crusher and Scavenger, who we know are deluxes.
Yeah. Okay. John, do you get anything else? It's been months since you
were here. That's it, man.
Anything else cool that you got? Any other? Have you picked up any like Toy Fair catalogs or anything that you haven't told us about?
I think so, but I can't recall which one I picked up. I did pick up some random catalog since I was last on the show. I'll keep better track, I promise, Brian.
How are your eBay sales going?
They're good. They're steady. They're steady. They're fine. I think I'm going to start selling some of my more contemporary stuff too, just because, I don't know, man. I'm kind of in that phase where I want to really cull everything down regardless of like the vintage. So even stuff from 2017 to now, I'll probably start like listing some stuff. I mean, surprisingly, often that stuff is more valuable than like super vintage stuff. It's like weird random stuff from the last 5 years can have a lot more value than 40, 35 year old stuff because people have kind of stopped caring about that stuff. It's interesting.
Yeah, I see.
Well, like most of the people who have or who would want the 35 plus year old stuff have gotten it by now anyway. So the market has completely shriveled.
For sure. It's like 12 inch Joes, which is like, Father Time's undefeated there. So
either have everything you're looking for or you've died before reaching that point.
Which is like about 10, 15 years. And it's going to be our generation. I don't want to think about that, but I mean, it's a similar thing. Yeah. I mean, there are many reasons that demand's going away, but stuff from the last 10 years is often just like, that's the stuff people are nostalgic for and that they'll pay big money for. Some weird, like, end of the line Power of the Primes piece or just something that you don't even apply like value to in your head. Like, that's the stuff now.
Yeah. I just put a couple bids in. It's just so as a heads up. I see you're selling your GDO Megatron. Or your or GDO
Bonzaitron. Yeah.
What is it? Bonzaitron? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
GDO would be a Megatron, but it's made from that bludgeon Bonzaitron mold.
It's made from bludgeon, and his treads haven't like rotted away. I assume that affects that one too. Every version of that mold.
Probably.
So I'm going through the stuff I'm gonna getting rid of. I think I'm gonna get rid of my GDO wheelie.
Oh,
it's Cloudburst on.
Okay, thank you.
John, did I just share something I shouldn't have?
Well, nobody knows.
Handles Cloudburst.
Yeah, my eBay handles Cloudburst. It's fine.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, okay, cool. Okay, anything else? Nothing else?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay.
I'll go next.
Okay.
So I have Legacy United Gears and Cybertron Starscream.
Ooh, nice. Ooh, is Gears as good as he looks?
Actually, yes. So between the two, right. I like Gears more. Even though Cybertron Starscream is a design that I've always liked. So naturally, I will talk about Starscream first. Starscream really is like, it knows that it's supposed to look like Cybertron Starscream, but it doesn't know why it's supposed to look like Cybertron Starscream. So, like, it's going through all the motions, but there's not, like, a clear understanding of why it's having to do what it's doing, because nothing really works the same as on the original toy, and the original toy worked because it was this chunky, almost bricky thing in the alt mode, and, like, the robot mode really did sacrifice. I'm talking about the Voyager one for reference here. The robot mode really did sacrifice to make that vehicle mode work, and the Supreme probably even more so than that. So, like, there was a great measure of stability in both modes because it had to be the way it was. It was a very 2005 toy.
Why 2005?
Yeah, exactly.
That was a joke that three people will get.
Yeah, including me. So, Legacy Cybertron Starscream does not have that, like, sturdy, rigid structural integrity to it. Now, the robot mode on it is basically fine. It has a wider range of posability than the original toy, which is not difficult at all, especially in the arms. So there's even the way the shoulders are set up, you know, it's the like main engines for the alt mode sticking up from the shoulders, and then you've got the whole shoulder block underneath them. On the original toy, you had either just a tiny bit of outward movement at the shoulders or none at all. I can't remember for sure. This actually has special joints that are almost entirely to move those armor pieces out of the way so the arms can raise out to the side farther. Rob, you will be familiar with this especially because it's something they do on a lot of Gundam figures and model kits to have that posable shoulder armor. There is utility in it for the transformation to reverse the arms for the alt mode, but like I think they could have achieved that same effect without having those movable parts. They did that solely, I think, for the sake of robot posability, and I really appreciate that. The robot mode is very much influenced by the media interpretation of Cybertron Starscream, which Transformers Cybertron was a super toy accurate cartoon, but they still tweaked like body proportions and stuff to make the things look as good as possible. So it's definitely, you know, taller and slimmer looking than the original toy, which was, you know, it was built thick and bricky, which I liked that aesthetic in it. And this is very like, this is almost more like, you know, anime looking the way they've got the proportions laid out. It's not bad. It's fine, especially being a more posable take on it. I don't have a problem with that. It really is, though, just the transformation is not like comfortable or fun to do. And then the alt mode, once you get there, it doesn't really work well with itself. So like one significant problem is that like the nose of the jet or spaceship mode, whatever you want to call it, I can't find a way around this. It points up a little bit. It doesn't point like level and flush with the rest of the body. So like it always looks like it's a little bit off kilter. I was looking around at some pictures other people had posted. I hadn't seen any like outright references to the fact that the toy kind of curves up in front a little bit, but the pictures I was seeing seemed to depict the same thing happening, so it doesn't feel like that's a defect or a mistransformation on my part leading to that. That just seems to be the way the toy is designed.
Do you think that's a Motor Master hip ratchet situation where like the ratchets will just not land in the right place for the nose to be in the position you want it to be, or is it something more sculptural?
I don't think there even is ratchets.
Okay.
I mean, good thought, but that doesn't seem to be the problem. No, it just seems like where the parts lock in, where they lock in, forces it to be pointed that way for reasons beyond my comprehension. The other problem I have with this is, well, it's kind of a compound problem. So, you know, the arm cannon pieces are removable. They're separate in the package and you put them on. So they just peg in with 5mm posts. So one problem with that is they will tend to deflect along their axis of rotation on that peg. So if you want to keep everything like straight and lined up, that's a challenge. But also, like, you can knock them out pretty easily. They peg in snug, but the ports that they peg into are kind of on the shallow side, so it doesn't take much to overcome that grip. And then the shoulder armor thing that I was praising for the robot's purpose is a little bit of a detriment here because it also won't quite line up square, certainly not on my copy. So, like, you know, everything in the alt mode is just a little bit off, and I love on the original toys the way this alt mode looked. It's one of my favorite like original takes on a classic character design. And this, you know, its inspiration goes back to Don Figueroa and his The War Within comic designs, just put through like a more like Greebly mechanical filter, even for the original toy. And, like, being that it's, like, my favorite part of Cybertron Starscream, I'm just kind of disappointed that it's not represented here nearly as well as I think it could have been. Like, I don't hate this toy. For something that represents a good posable action figure version of Cybertron Starscream as a robot, it succeeds pretty well. It's just, it's not as complete a package as I would have liked it to be. Also, we were talking when the first pictures of this came out, we found that it came with a little cyber key accessory. The cyber key is indeed teeny tiny. It is actually smaller than my thumbnail, my literal thumbnail on my finger. But on the plus side, for such a tiny losable piece, it does tab in very snugly to the cyber key port on the back of the engine cowling. So you can probably tab it in there, and you are not likely to have it just like walk off on its own and disappear into the depths of the carpet or what have you. The other thing is the rifle that it comes with. I have not quite been able to figure out where they pulled its design from. Because like the missile launching gun that the Voyager mold came with was a very plain, just like a box with a cylinder at the end kind of affair. There wasn't like embellishments. Like this has, you know, little winglets and stuff on it, little fins and other projections. It's a very visually interesting looking gun, but just off the top of my head, I can't think where they got this design from to then apply to this. If it's an original creation from somebody on the Hasbro team or one of the Takara designers that worked on this, it's a really cool looking piece, and it stores actually really cleverly in vehicle mode by tabbing up into the triangular stabilizer piece at the back. So it basically rests just above the cockpit and, you know, aims out forward over the spaceship mode. It's a really good solution. The original, you had to have its missile launcher underslung under the nose, which, I mean, wasn't like a big problem doing that, but it didn't look quite as elegant. This like just slots in and looks very, you know, well-fitting, linear with the design. I actually like that element of it quite a bit, but yeah, it's sadly more imperfect than I had hoped it would be, and it's just kind of okay. I probably will not buy recolors of this when they inevitably do something else with it. But like, I at least appreciate that they put in a good effort on something that is one of my favorite like toy and like character design interpretations. Now, Gears, on the other hand, is actually really, really nice. It doesn't really hurt that it's like, you know, as official toys go, our first really good Gears toy probably ever. The previous generation's Gears, unless I'm forgetting one, was just the retool of, actually not even a, well, yeah, slight retool of the Legends class Swerve from 2013.
You are correct.
Yeah. And like, while that certainly was colored like Gears and had sort of a Gears head design, like, I don't think anybody thought it was a good take on the character. And then, you know, before that we had the G1 toy, which that's certainly a love it or hate it proposition there. So this is just like a really, really nicely done take on the cartoon design of Gears. The head. Okay. So the head is like, imagine you put half of a cheese wheel on a ball joint. That's basically what's going on here. He's got like the full half moon that just the whole thing rotates around. If you leave the backpack tabbed in where it's supposed to go, you get about 15 degrees of movement to either side at the neck joint. If you let that push the backpack out, it can rotate around the whole way, and the backpack doesn't look like particularly distended or anything. So like it's also got like up and down movement available. So for being half of a cheese wheel, it's actually got quite a good range of motion on it. The face looks a little bit big in there, but like with Gears, you're either going to have like a really big looking face that looks a little weird, or you're going to have a tiny face in that big structure that's going to look weird in a different way. I don't think there's like a happy middle ground with this. So what they ended up with was something that's not entirely accurate to what Gears looked like in the cartoon, but it's certainly like in the spirit of that. He's got like the disinterested scowl. So he's not exactly crabby, but he is certainly sick and tired of listening to you. So one thing, though, that is really cool about Gears is that they've placed the transformation joints in this toy in such a way that they absolutely are usable to boost the posability of the robot. So like a great example of that is in the shoulders, where you have the standard universal joint shoulder, but that is attached to a swiveling cylinder. That's how the arms flip into the body for transformation, but there is enough range of movement that you have a functional like butterfly joint at the shoulder to get more expressiveness in the arms. And it feels really natural to move that. It doesn't feel like that's an accidental use of a transformation joint for posing. It feels like, okay, can we get this transformation joint somewhere where it gets the arms where they need to go in the vehicle, but also like you can kind of point his gun forward more naturally than just having it, you know, the shoulder sticking straight out to the side and the arm forward. It makes it look just that much more like organic, basically, for want of a better word. Another place where you have this is in the elbows and the knees, which are both double jointed because they need to fold over themselves for transformation, but they are perfectly usable in that capacity for posability too. Like, they put a lot of care and attention into how even just the robot is engineered in relation to what the toy needs to do for both modes. And like, it really shows someone was into making the best Gears possible for probably the only generation's redo it's going to get for the next decade or so. And the transformation is actually like quite intuitive, and like it's not complicated, but it doesn't feel like overly simple. There is just enough where you have to think about what you're doing, but it makes perfect sense what needs to go where and why you're doing what you're doing. Even the part where the hinge up chest piece on it, which by the way is not attached in package, so make sure to dig through that bundle of tissue paper on the back to get the chest and the gun out. Don't, you know, accidentally throw that away, otherwise your Gears will be topless. But you know, even getting that chest piece up onto the back of the truck, like, you don't even really have to like go out of your way to remember to do that. It just naturally kind of transpires that you get that there as you're finishing up that part of the transformation. And what's really cool about this is that you basically flip the whole toy upside down and then just like unfold it, almost accordion unfold it, to make the truck out of the robot. I'm probably not describing it super well, but it's a really cool feeling process. And when you realize what you've done to turn the robot into the truck, like, it's actually really interesting and something that, like, I feel like it's not unique, but it's certainly not a common way of transforming a robot into a car. So like there is definitely some novel thinking here, and I really appreciate that. As for size, Gears is a tiny bit shorter than Beachcomber, for example, which I think is as it should be. You know, Gears should be a little angry man, and the toy conveys that energy. So, like, basically on all points, I think it succeeds at what it's doing. The truck mode could maybe be a little bit more, like, tidy and together, but at the same time, Gears has never been a good truck, even in the G1 toy. So I think this is also true to the character. So in that, they also succeeded. But yeah, I really like Gears. I'm glad I got it.
I'm glad you got it too. I want it.
So I got these from Big Bad. I don't know if they still have any of Gears in stock right now, but you can check and perhaps we can take a drink. But that's all I got on topic.
Yeah, I'm working on that right now. I don't see it. It's listed for pre-order. Okay.
Okay. Matt, how about you?
No, I don't have anything this week. I was supposed to have Animated Optimus, but he is dragging his heel somewhere in the Postal Service.
Oh. Well, at least I remembered you existed.
Diecast?
Yes. I got the same thing John got, the last train bot. I got the one, I don't know about you, John, I got the one in the big, huge box that holds all the train bots.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on the list of things to do, is just find them all. I don't think I've opened any of them, so I'm going to find them all and throw them in the box and put the box somewhere.
Oh, you're not?
Yeah,
so you're
that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still not going to open them. I bought it for the box set, and I don't know. I know it's weird, but yeah, they're staying in the box for now, at least till I straighten up and organize and do all that stuff.
So forever.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah, why don't you mail them off to be graded? Keep them sealed. Be that guy.
Grade I'll be the them. One You'll... AFA graded masterpiece ride in.
Hey, man. And then you'll show up on some YouTube video 10 years from now trying to sell it at like a retro shop. You'll be that guy. That's how the story ends.
For 10 grand. Yeah.
Does it, so like with like PSA or Beckett grading for cards, I'm assuming comics grades are the same thing. There's a pop report, population report, where you can see like what's been graded, what grades are out there. I wonder if AFA does that. That would be fascinating. I need to find out and do some digging.
Good question. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Anything else, Diecast?
Don't think Transformers related. Huh? I think that's it.
Hey, Rob?
Nothing on topic.
Don?
Yes, I have one thing on topic because I'm making it on topic because it is Brave, which I believe is on topic.
That's close enough. Close enough. You got something else, too, after you're done with Brave.
Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, that's off topic, though. I got Metamorph Force, which is a Solid Shogokin equivalent, Fire Dagawan.
Oh, neat. Nice. Anybody who was around Big Lots in like 2003 and saw those bootlegs all over the place, like that'll have a special place in their hearts.
Yep. Yeah. I recognize it.
I had one of those.
Yeah. This is the real deal from Brave Command Dagawan, which was the series that came out before Galgaigar. A lot of inspiration was supposedly taken from Gundam Wing, as far as the protagonist, the settings, and some of that stuff. But this is my favorite non-Transformer branded Transformer. Dagawan is my favorite Brave series. I love all the mecha. Power Dagawan is due later out in this year. So we'll be able to form Super Fire Dagawan, which is his final form. It breaks down into the jumbo jet, the ambulance, and the fire truck. That's the hands.
So, Don, Amazon wish list is on topic. So, what did you get?
Well, I got two things. They're sort of off topic, but someone sent Hank a box of Temptations, which he loves. So, whoever that was,
there was a note. Tell us what the note said.
I don't remember a note.
It said, one boss kitty to another, and it was signed, Core Class Supreme Cheetor.
Okay.
I wonder who would have done that.
Yeah, I wonder who would have done that. At any rate, Hank told me to thank y'all for the Temptations. Also, I got a piece of furniture from my wish list. The Furino is the kind you twist together. It's a very basic bookcase, but it's going to look good with the mother.
With your Supreme Cheetors. Oh. With the Core Class Supreme Cheetors. That's why I sent it. So you can put all your Cheetors on it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate that. But that's all I've got on topic. That was...
Don, I cannot wait for all of your Core Class Cheetors. They'll look great on that.
You need to put that back on your wish list.
No.
I'm creating a new wish list that's nothing but that. And I need to post that.
Do not send me that. I could have bought four of them at Target this week.
You'll get more than four.
I don't want one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the guys on There Goes My Money are also committed to setting you up with some Cheetors.
If you want to send me something, just send me the cash.
So
I have pre-orders I can pay for.
So what I'll do is let me do my what we got this week. Then Chris, you can like do this for the Patreon part. You can shuffle through people, and I'll pull that together, and I'll have it ready by the time we get to the Patreon plug. Okay, so
don't forget Diecast though.
Oh, Diecast already went.
Did he?
Yeah,
I went.
Yeah. So what I got?
Where was I?
You were thinking about Gears.
I guess. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
So what I got this week on topic? Went to Toylanta. Had a blast hanging out with Rob Springer, Joey and Sean. Got a few things. Got I already had one, but I got all three Omnibots complete.
So
nice.
I'm very happy to have that. I'm still working toward getting a complete G1 set. And funny enough, most of the stuff I'm missing is like 8485, which is dumb. That's what I'm missing. So also with that in mind, I also got a complete with paperwork. They had paperwork too, but a complete with paperwork, Starscream, G1 Starscream.
So, ooh. Oh, yeah. that looks like it's in nice shape.
It's an okay shape. It's played with, but it's good enough for my collection. My collection is not be pristine. And yeah. I just dropped one of the wings fell. So
I just put my nomination for the new wish list's name in the chat, by the way, Brian.
tfradio.net/cheat-sheet. That's what it'll be.
Great.
cheat spelled C-H-E-E-T.
Yes.
And this is something that I saw and I was going to buy it, but Sean bought it for me. It is, and we talked about this last week, the Great Car Rally.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So
nice.
Really happy with that. So
fantastic.
Yeah. So, of course, that's the one that features on the last page the Optimus Prime.
Yes.
Smiling face. It's wonderful. Thank you, Sean.
I love the art in those books.
Yeah. Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the one that came with the cassette or the book or the record?
Great. Good question. I don't remember. I honestly didn't think it came with it either.
Okay. I know there was some that were just regular books, but I couldn't remember. I thought
this was a regular book, but I'm willing to be wrong on that.
Yeah. I want to say this did not have an audio component. I think that was a different series of books.
Yeah.
Those are awesome. I would love figures based on just the way they looked in that series.
Yeah. So guess what? If you go to tfradio.net/cheat-sheet, tfradio.net/CHEET, cheat, sheet, cheat, sheet, cheat, spelled that way for Cheetor. There's a special Amazon wish list that goes to Don, and it never takes off anything you buy on it. And the only thing on it, Core Class Cheetor. And the cool thing is, you can add anything to your cart and it'll go to Don as well. So you have the option to send him other things as well. So if you want to send him some Cadbury eggs, I think he would love those.
Or a coffin.
Or coffee.
No, like, coffin.
Yeah, coffee.
Yes. Yes. So. Because Christy has foreboding the coffin. But I would like to say, everyone, please do not send me those Cheetors.
Please.
I don't want them.
Please send them.
I will make money on them somehow, and your hard-earned money. If you want to send me something,
we agreed that you would donate them to Toys for Tots, I thought.
But I like kids. Why would I want to give them that toy?
So, Don, you're saying your wife has decoffinated you?
Oh man, that's a good one too.
That is a good one. I will give you a clap for that. No, but yeah, seriously, people, do not send me that toy. I don't want it. I could have bought four of them at Target yesterday and chose
radio
not to.
.net/cheat-sheet.
See, Don, the whole point of the Amazon wish list is for things that like you would never buy for yourself.
That you really want.
No one should buy that. No one should. I mean, I know. Okay, Brian, you said the other day on Twitter that I have an irrational hatred of some things. The reason I have a hatred for that figure, because Supreme Cheetor encompasses every figure that I wish I had never bought. It's a representation of every figure. All the Energon crap I wish I never bought. All the Beast Machine stuff I wish I never bought.
Well, you're not buying this.
I know, but I'm saying, though, it's not a rational fear if it's the embodiment of everything you hate and you're justified so.
I think psychologically that might still count as an irrational fear.
tfradio.net/cheat-sheet. And that is an affiliate link. I'm not going to... that. If you buy something off that, not only will it help Don out, it'll help us out. So
yeah, this is not elf on a shelf warmer. This is not a charitable act. This is
Don should.
This
donate.
Is fight. No, this is 100% pure homegrown.
if you really want to piss Don off, also add like the CD that has Ice Ice Baby on it.
Yes.
And a Death's Head too.
And a Death's Head too.
Forget and, this. And, I'm going to do my own podcast with Blackjack and something else.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I can't have the second part because I'm married, so there's that.
Yeah, well. Yeah,
that doesn't okay. mean, it doesn't mean you can't have them as guests.
That's true, you could. Like, yeah. You can befriend them and talk them into like a different... Or they could, you're not even like into a different occupation. Maybe you could just come to a mutual understanding and like, you know, I think I always think that engaging people is a good thing. tfradio.net/cheat sheet. Okay. I want to thank our patrons at patreon.com/tfradio. Patrons get an ad-free version of the show. And there will be one. Actually, there's always an ad-free version of the show. You get it a day early. It doesn't mean 24 hours, but you get it a day early. Higher bit rate. Weekly Patreon exclusive pre-show podcast. I should move the stuff around because the pertinent thing here is unedited episodes of RFC, and there's gonna be a slight edit this week, so the Patreon version will be a little bit longer than the public version of the show,
but both of them are gonna be pretty long this week.
Yeah, they're both gonna be long.
We are bumping up against 2 hours right now,
and yeah, it's I don't know why. It's not like there was a ton of news.
No, but we sure talked about a few things for a while.
That's true.
Like the beer.
Yeah, that's true.
And writing.
You get There Goes My Money, the podcast, which is edited by Chris, thankfully, not me. So it will does come out.
Yeah.
Give it the week early. Patrons at the touch tier get to be on There Goes My Money. And it's recorded twice monthly. A new episode was posted just today to the Patreon feed. And if you want to get it early, just sign up. But it'll be available in the public feed next week. Again, patrons at the touch tier get to be on that. And starting with the next recorded episode, we'll have a new touch patron on it. So I'm excited about
that.
Yes. Yeah. And touch patrons get to be mentioned on the show each week and listed at tfradio.net/credits, which I'm doing right now. Kevin Dorsey, Jacob Owen Lucia, Sean Bratton, Emmett Stresovich, Hector Bones, Jay Klein Rye, Joey Russell, who I got to hang out with this week. Here's Why It's Cool, Rabbits, Rick Mahurin, Ryan Bona, Sean Hamilton, who I also got to hang out with, Sean Williamson, and Spider Bob, and Sean Bratton, Boomer, said that he's going to try to go to Toylana next year. So that's awesome. Can't wait to meet him. So you can find everything that we do at tfradio.net. It's all there, going back 25 years. Just scary. If you listen to old episodes, one, I'm sorry. I was like 19. And
I was 15 and 16.
No, I was 20.
Yeah.
And I need to go back and listen because there are people who were on the show that I forgot that they exist. It was that long ago. I really need to go back and like do really good, tight show notes for those.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen at all.
That's never going to happen. You can find everything I do at BrianKilby.com. I am on Blue Sky at Kilby.bsky.social. And I need to go back and record some more episodes with Happy Daily. Like, I've had a bad stretch for the last few weeks, so I haven't really been in the mood for it. But hopefully I'll get some more episodes out soon. John DeLuna is here. John, how do people get a hold of you?
Still, that John D. everywhere.
Everywhere. Rob Springer, not here. He is at zonebase.org, at zonebase.bsky.social. Robo Rob Springer on Twitter. And he said he will start posting more episodes of Transform Squadron. He's just not had the opportunity to do it. So he'll get back on that soon. So I'm excited about that. Diecast, how do people get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me on Blue Sky and Twitter at Diecast2. They can like my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast, and they can see my reviews at youtube.com/RFCReviews.
Cool. Don can be found at tfradio.net/cheat sheet. And also, yes. Don, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, after I commit heinous crimes and I'm in back in, they reopened Butner, which was the local insane asylum, I can be found on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR. I can also be found on Blue Sky, although I am still not using it at all. I'm just haven't got there much. HMRC for EVR.bluesky.social. Also, I have an Amazon wish list, which this version is thankfully cheaterless. At TF
for now.
tfradio.net/dotlist.
Matt?
Melvar.bsky.social. That's with 3 L's and 2 R's.
Cool. Rob?
I'm on robflails.bsky.social. That is ostensibly connected to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/flailthroughs, which covers mostly Gundam games. Monthly update for Gundam Battle Operation 2 happens tonight. The this time we're getting the new Gundam heavy weapon system. And Thursday morning, there will likely be the update video and a test drive video of that. And if you like what I do over there, patreon.com/flailthroughs will let you support that, make specific requests in the Gundam games I play, phrasing it that way in advance for when Gundam Breaker 4 shows up. And I also have a wish list that benefits the show at tfradio.net/claylist.
Chris. Chris RTXB on Blue Sky. My photography work, you can find the record of that at playwithphotography.com. I have an Amazon wish list, which also benefits the show at tfradio.net/chrislist. And of course, you can find me in our Discord at tfradio.net/discord, which is honestly the best place to talk about Transformers and other nerd topics. Great group of regulars in there. Come join us, hang out. We're there all week. It's not just show nights, but show nights, you especially want to be there because we read along with our Discord and often interact with our live audience. It's a really good time for everybody.
Yeah, totally agree. John, so great to have you back this week. Can't wait to do this on the regular again.
Good to be back. Thank you.
For the people watching the video, your toy collection looks really nice behind you.
Although I do miss the arcade.
It's probably a different angle.
Well, I can twist the camera. I can mix it up, guys.
Oh,
every week. Who knows? Cool. Who knows?
Where in the world is John DeLuna?
Yeah,
that's right.
He is at tfradio.net/cheat sheet. We'll see you next week.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.